Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit us at biblestudy.asbzone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes and various Bible study resources. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our devotional today. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness to us. I want to thank you for preserving us. We are grateful for this opportunity. We ask you to help us to be effective. We pray, Lord, that those who hear will be blessed and that we will be blessed as we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's devotional is entitled, Being Sorry for the Right Reasons. And our passage for this study is Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. Being sorry for the right reasons. The story of Esau is a very interesting one. And there are many lessons we can learn from that story. There are many things that it shows us. You can be born in the right household and still not have things turn out the right way because of decisions you make. I think we forget oftentimes that Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau is always seen as the older brother because of how he behaved and how he responded, but they were twins. They were brought up in the same household. They were the only children of their parents, and yet they turned out in two different ways. But what the Bible tells us here, it describes Esau's character, but it also explains to us that he'd never found repentance, which is interesting because when you read the story, it looks like he repented. It looks like he cried out. But Paul is here outlining for us something very important, and that is true repentance is about being sorry for the sin, not just sorry for the consequences. And it's very easy to be sorry about the consequences. You can know that the sin is wrong, and maybe you don't feel good about it. But it's when the consequences hit you that you're sorry you're in that situation, but you're not really sorry that you did the things that got you into that situation. You might be making excuses for it. You might be just thinking, well, it happens to everybody. You might be annoyed that you were caught. Let me give you an example. Think of how many times someone is speeding on a highway and they are pulled over. And their whole thought process isn't, well, I was speeding. It's, how come none of these other people got pulled over? Right? Think about how many times we have had that mentality. And it's a mentality that says, I am frustrated or annoyed or saddened or discouraged or even afraid for the consequences I'm going to face on account of that. When I was 12 years old, I had a very interesting situation occur. I got mouthy with a teacher. Well, it was the principal, actually, in a situation that my normal teacher wasn't present. So there was an event that was optional for people to go to. And normally, I wouldn't, my parents hadn't paid for me to go to that event. And so that was fine. Normally, what would happen is the teacher would let me go. And the teacher would let me go home. If I stayed back, teacher would let me go home. And, you know, I was generally a good student, et cetera, and so on. So I got extra privileges on account of that, which you don't realize that at the time, but that's what it was. And on this occasion, on this day when this event took place, my normal teacher was sick. So she was out. Principal was filling in, and he was like, hey, everybody who's not going to this thing is staying here. So there were like four or five of us from the class. And I thought, this is nonsense. I should be able to go, blah, 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 blah. So I sat around and I sat around for a while, but the first moment I could, I snuck off and went home. Well, as you can imagine, from a person in authority, they didn't like that. And even though I had been an otherwise good student, they were not taking that challenge to their authority and insubordination in that way. And so what they did was they suspended me for 3 days. And I was perplexed because this was not something that happened to me. Right? This was not something that happened to me. And I was perplexed because of what would happen to me once my parents became aware that this is what I had done. So I still did not feel as though I had done anything wrong. I was afraid of what was about to happen to me or what could potentially happen. And I figured I would outsmart everyone. So the letter went home about me being suspended, which I intercepted and destroyed. And then, of course, my father used to take me to school on his way to work. So that was a little bit tricky, but I let him take me. And I got out the car, took my time heading up to the school. But, you know, once he drove off, I disappeared from there. And I had a very adventurous day and managed to do everything that I needed to do correctly, in my opinion, and got home at the right time. But my mother met me at the door. The door was locked. That was the first problem. The screen door was locked. I thought, oh, I wonder what's up with that. Not thinking anything, because remember, I've done everything I'm supposed to do perfectly. And get to the screen door. It's locked. Ring the bell. Mother opens the kitchen. I can still, even as I say it, I can still see the events unfolding. Door opens, and she opened the inner door and didn't open the outer door right away. She says, where were you? And I thought, that's not a good question. But I was committed to my course. I just got back from school. And she said, wait till your father gets home. And man, I have never had a judgment day scenario quite like that one. I was edgy from the moment that happened till the moment he teleported into the room. And that's a story unto itself. I'll leave that out for now. But he did in fact teleport into that room in a way that he never had. He was always somebody that took 2 or 3 minutes from the time he parked that car to get inside the house. And he did not take 2 or 3 minutes that day. And in that whole incident, all up through that point, I was not sorry for what I had done. And it wasn't even so much that I was defiant about what I had done. I largely wasn't thinking about it. I was only afraid of what was about to happen and what was happening and what seemed like it would happen. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't saying, well, I was right and I was this. I wasn't arguing. I wasn't defending my position. I wasn't even thinking about it. I did not draw a line between my behavior and the consequences. I was only concerned about the consequences. Didn't pay any attention to the fact that I had done things that had gotten us to that point, right? It's the difference, you know, think about it. When we look in the Bible, we look at situations where people have done wrong and are being punished, right? The children of Israel did a lot of foolishness, and the Lord would remove his protection. And if you look throughout the book of Judges and throughout the stories of the kings, you see plenty of times where Israel goes astray, they apostatize, and therefore things come upon them, right? And then you have the story of Job, where Job is going about minding his own business, doing everything he's supposed to be doing, and affliction comes upon him because of other dynamics in the background. Too often, we behave like the children of Israel, but expect that all the stuff happening to us is like we're Job, and it just sort of happened, right? Or there's somebody in the background doing things, and we don't understand or appreciate that it is our actions that got us here. So Esau's situation is that he sold his birthright, right? Look at verse 15 of Hebrews 12. Paul is explaining, well, we'll start at verse 14, because that's really where the sentence begins. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And then he gives us some more things to concern ourselves with. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, such as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. So remember that he comes home hungry one day from hunting because he didn't manage to get anything on that hunt. And he's like, oh, I'm starving. And Jacob is there, and Jacob's like, hey, got some food here. And he's like, okay, give it to me. He's like, well, how about you give me your birthright, I give you the food. And Esau's like, what's the birthright going to do for me if I'm dead, right? So he sells the birthright. Despise the birthright, okay? And if you want to understand the context in which the Bible is bringing this up, think about, let's make that inheritance. This was, the birthright was his inheritance, okay? The spirit, it was mostly the spiritual side of it, but it was his inheritance. His right of birth, being the firstborn, just minutes early, and he got this right. Imagine that his birthright had involved inheriting specific property from his father and specific amount of money in addition to leadership of the home, right? Just let's characterize it that way. Because when we just say birthright, we don't think about what that means. But he was going to be the head of the house spiritually. He was going to be the patriarch of the family, spiritually, etc. So he basically, for a pot of food, he basically said, who cares about this inheritance? Again, the birthright included and focused on the spiritual component. Okay? It focused on the spiritual component. But there was a headship thing. There was an inheritance piece. And he gave that all away for one meal. That's why he's referred to as a profane person. He sold that for a morsel of meat. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Right? He ran off and cried about it. But he was crying again, not because of the decisions that he had made that led to him throwing away the birthright. He was concerned about Jacob's deception of him, and he remembered the birthright thing because he says, you did this to me twice, right? He remembered the birthright thing, but again, not his part in it, right? I'm going to pull it up. Look at what he says here in Genesis 27, we'll read from 33 through 36. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and behold, he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Okay, and then there's more. He's crying here. But he says that Jacob took away his blessing twice. He sold his blessing the first time. And we have to be careful, not just to ride Esau because he did what he did and he's long since gone. We have to be careful that when we review our circumstances and we find ourselves in problems and we review our circumstances, that our complaint is not merely about what is happening to us now. That we're not complaining about consequences or ramifications, but that we are saddened, disappointed, etc., because of what we did. Not because we were caught doing it, not because things have caught up to us, but because of what we did. Because everything else is going to be exactly what Paul said that it was. We won't find a place of repentance, no matter how much we cry, if we're not recognizing what we did, and that's the problem. Not the consequences, not that somebody saw it, not that it was on camera, not that somebody found out, but that we did it to begin with. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And carefully here means anxious, anxiously. We won't find it after the fact if we're looking in the wrong place. We need to be sorry for the right reasons, which will be a motivator to avoid the right issues. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and blessing and goodness to us. We are grateful for your forgiveness. We want to ask you that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to despise the sin that gets us into problems, not the consequences of those sins, but the sin itself. Help us to avoid the problems. Help us to desire to be closely connected with you so that we will not desire to associate with these things that lead to destruction and death. Please bless us, we pray. And bless those that hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. You can reach us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. We look forward to hearing from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns. We also recommend that you check out the True Wisdom podcast, where Robert and I discuss Bible stories and topics together. Both of these podcasts can be found on over a dozen platforms, including Google, Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. Please remember our ministries in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study and share His holy word.